A vital consideration when choosing a version of Scripture. Shalom and hello, dear friends. By now you know there are many different translations out there. By now you know there are many different claims out there. By now you know there are many deceivers out there, claiming that their copy of the Scriptures or their translation is the best. As a matter of fact, even today I saw a YouTube video claiming that in Matthew 5:19, those who kept the least of the commands and teach others to keep the least of the commands do not get into the kingdom. Yet in all our research, we could not find the word from the kingdom with the prefix met or from the kingdom. But in all the Hebrew sources, the prefix is bet, meaning in the kingdom. This is the kind of misinformation that is out there waiting to trip you up. So I told the person who posted this video that after checking all the Hebrew base sources, there is no evidence for the claim. So those of us who desire to study and come closest to the original meanings have a real battle on our hands. The battle goes far beyond theological issues, beyond studying the Hebrew, the Greek, or the Aramaic. There are many different debates out there with just as many different views regarding the base text used, whether it be the Septuagint, the Masoretic, or any other. And we have covered that in great detail. But here's something else for you to think about. Most people, when considering what scriptures to trust and use as their go-to versions, so to speak, do not even consider something that even the sincerest truth seeker needs to consider seriously. Once we get beyond the discussions of the best version to use, one of the criteria that is hardly ever considered is perhaps the most crucial consideration. So this video instruction will bring to your attention a very important ignored criteria that each of us should be using when we consider what scriptures to use as our main go-to favorite translation. We here at RSTNE.com have given you hundreds of reasons why the RSTNE is the best translation in the English language. So you don't need another video to prove that. But we believe there is one criterion that very rarely, if ever, is considered. We want to briefly address that in this video. Have you ever considered the lifestyles of the translator or translators? Who they are, what they were involved with, what they believed, and how they lived their lives? For instance, does it matter that the translations and the translators were Freemasons or members of the Illuminati? Did you know that almost all English translations come from Francis Bacon, an occultist, a Freemason, a Freemason revivalist, as did the Geneva Bible and the King James Version? Who were these scoundrels? Don't you want to know before you call a version true or Hebraic? Before you defend the indefensible? Would you trust these men more than the Torah and the prophetically ordained sons of Kohath and Zedekites? And the order of Messiah, the order of Melchizedek. These translators handed down to us the infamous Textus Receptus, which includes the rabbinic Masoretic Doctor texts, void of the Father's true name, making all English translations based on them virtually the same thing, sold to you as different from one another. The mirage being that they are all different, so you have choices. Does it matter to you if the translators were plagiarists and murderers? Some spoke no Hebrew or Greek. For example, King James, a homosexual and his wife, Bloody Mary, who was a murderess. Does that matter to you that the texts were changed to justify the British crown as all supreme in places like 1 Peter 2:17, so that the so-called authorized version was not authorized by heaven, but by the crown? Does it matter to you that the ones behind the Geneva Bible, for instance, were occultists? Does it matter to you that the Mezraites were Talmudic rabbis, determined to remove messianic scriptures and prophecies that pointed to Messiah Yahushua of Nazareth? Does it matter to you that some of the translators of the many Johnny-come-lately Hebraic versions are mere copies of Bacon's occultist authorized version? Does it bother you that these modern Hebraic Bible creators openly and subtly deny the divinity of the Messiah Yahushua? Does it matter to you if some of the translators of the modern Hebraic versions believe that the Gentiles don't have to keep the Torah? Does it bother you that some of them don't use the true names at all? What about those translators who are anti-Messiah? Because according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, that whoever does not confess both the Father and the Son as Yahuwah, that person has the spirit of anti-Messiah and translated, or more likely copied, into the English with the help of unclean spirits. Now, the problem with only considering language, text, and the antiquity of a scripture, and forgetting about the personality traits and lifestyles and beliefs of the translators, is that it opens a door for the devil to confuse, empower, and mislead others through the lying pen of the scribes, i.e. the translator. This is not a new phenomenon according to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. We believe that this consideration regarding what the translators believe, what they practiced, what occultism or pedophilia or any other abominable behavior they practiced is and should be a major criterion before choosing any translation. We certainly don't have the time to go into a long explanation. Suffice it to say that the scriptures make it clear that a person that denies the divinity of the Messiah or does not confess both the Father and the Son is an unclean demon, an unclean spirit. And now you are reading their translation, digesting it into your mind, into your temple. When you find out that a translator was an occultist, don't you think the enemy has entered into that work of man? All English translations that come from the King James, like the NIV, the NIS, or any other one that you can think of, comes from these dubious men. You are not only reading manuscripts that contradict the manuscripts that Yahushua himself used, you are reading the translations of men who will not even be in the kingdom, who had and have demonic spirits moving through them and moving through their translations and moving through their interpretations and their translations in order to deceive themselves and all those who study and value those translations. Does it bother you that many of these same translators believe the Greco-Roman church was the bride, replacing Yisrael? You see, friends, spirits move. Unclean spirits move. They move from person to person. They move through contact with and within objects. They move through familiarity. And when you read a Bible, just because you like it, or just because it's a little easier to read, or just because it has simple English, and yet do not take into consideration the demonic spirits, the Freemasonry, the occultism, the pedophilia, the immorality of those individuals, then the unclean spirits are being transferred to you, to your house, in order to confuse you doctrinally. Enough lies to confuse you right out of the kingdom. So these unclean spirits behind these early English translators are called demons and are the very translations that confuse you and pull you away from the true name, from Torah, from other vital restoration truths, such as the bride of Yahushua being Israel yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, as we close, we leave you with these thoughts. Did you know most translators can be found falling into one of those deviant behaviors? Did you know that unclean spirits, anti-Torah spirits, rebellious spirits, spirits of Mammon and Cain, anti-Yahusha spirits, occultism, deity denial of Yahusha's pre-existence as the Word, the Milta, all these wicked lifestyles have now come into your life. They've come into your home and they've come into your office, unbeknown to you. You've been victimized in your search for truth. You, being an innocent bystander, simply seeking the best translation. Prices and linguistics and arguments over what are the original autographs are not the only criteria to be considered. We here at the RSTNE are your contemporaries. We have used the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Septuagint, the Hebrew Aramaic, the Aramaic Peshitta, the Samaritan Torah, and many other multiple resources, so we do not rely on one single resource or one single man. The ancient sources we use are free of those unscrupulous men and their nefarious motives and occult ties. What if you discovered that the translators did not even believe in the inspiration of Scripture? The very book they were dishing out to you as inspired. What if you are using a translation where the translators deny the supernatural miracles of the scriptures? Did you know most fall into these categories by their own admission? When you listen carefully to their words, fear, doubt, and unbelief have been sown into the pages of the translations that they have done. What if you discovered that Moses was a transvestite? Would that affect how you saw his revelation, the Torah? So character in life does matter, and in Scripture translation, it matters far more. Now, in closing, we are known to you as the translators of the RSTNE, yours truly, and also we are your contemporaries. You know us, we walk with you. We talk with you. We walk with the Messiah and his Torah. We trust the manuscripts from heaven and under the earth, not produced in the church. Among us, there's no secret hidden darkness. There's no Kabbalah being practiced in the dark. There's no reliance on Talmud for doctrine. There's no involvement with the occult or Freemasonry or anything remotely similar. How important is it to you that you are able to speak to an interview and discern the beliefs of the translators behind any valid translation? We are a message away. The lives of the RSTNE translators are open books. My friends, I bring to you and place before your eyes this consideration, a consideration hidden from most of history, a history that has recorded the abominable practices of the majority of the translators of the English scriptures. To be holy means to be set apart, and we personally would not spend $2 or $1 on any translation where demons or unclean spirits motivated the translators to do what they did in their translations. This is a vital consideration that needs to be brought to the forefront when deciding what a clean translation is and what a clean translation is not. Once we get past the doctrinal differences and the various interpretations in the literal, maybe the more important question should be, were these men open doors for demons to steal, kill, and destroy, obfuscate, and confuse in darkness? Well, let the people of Yahuwah place this consideration to the forefront of their thinking and understanding when choosing a biblical version and whether that version is clean or unclean. Yes, my friends, the dubious lifestyles of most of these translators are seen even today. Most are producing Bibles that deny the Father and the Son, deny the divinity, deny the inspiration of the book of Hebrews, deny the inspiration of Paul's letters. Yet they are making good money selling you their books, the unclean books that have existed in the same form since the 1500s, with some Hebrew lipstick thrown in to deceive you into thinking that there is a difference in their translation. Theoretically, even if a translation were to be perfect, when such an individual is involved with the work and with the translation, there is no doubt that that translation remains unclean for the Nazarim remnant community of Israel. Coming next in our video library, a new insight entitled, Where Does the Word Come From? What realm or realms? And what happens when one or two of those realms are ignored? Thank you, and Selah.